Welcome to the podcast of Lansdowne United Methodist Church. We're so glad that you found us online. The message for today was recorded on Sunday, December 11th, 2016. The speaker is Pastor David Jacobson.
So it's at some point about 10 years ago, I decided that I wanted to be a ham radio operator. And in fact, it was not just an illustration. I don't remember what got me started on it. You know, I knew that, like I said, my grandfather was an expert. He was a Morse code guy, and he would use his ham radio to talk to people halfway across the world. I also remember hearing about how ham radio operators provide emergency communications during Hurricane Katrina when nothing else was working, and I think I wanted a part of that. But using a ham radio isn't something you can just jump into immediately. Even though you don't have to learn Morse code anymore, there is a fair amount of technological knowledge that you need to know so that you can be a good citizen on the radio waves. You know, so you don't interrupt other people's communications. So getting a license for a ham radio is pretty much like getting a license for like a commercial vehicle. There's a special exam you have to take. There's skills that are required. And if you're caught operating without a license, then you could get fined or even face some jail time, I guess. So one Christmas, I had asked for books for taking the exam, and I think it was maybe 3 months later that I got a letter in the mail that said I was now a KB3OWV, and I was very excited. And I was so excited, really, that I was talking to everyone that would listen to me about it, and I even got like two of my coworkers to sign up and take the test themselves and get licensed. So fresh off the successful exam, I borrowed a little radio from my father-in-law, and I read the manual cover to cover. And so after studying for the exam and reading that book, I was pretty sure I knew everything I needed to know. Everything I could possibly know to dive in and get transmitting. So I tuned into a free space on the airwaves, and I called CQ. That's like the radio equivalent of being like, hey, is there anybody out there? And I transmitted for like 10 or 20 seconds, and then I stopped to listen, and I heard nothing. So I did it again for another 10 or 20 seconds, and I still heard nothing. I changed frequencies, and I did the same thing, and still heard nothing. This continued on for some time, and I looked at my radio, and I wondered, is this thing even working? Well, I think that when John the Baptist went out into the desert, you know, a free space on the airwaves, so to speak, he began broadcasting, and he said, prepare the way for the Lord. Repent and be baptized. The kingdom of God is near. We heard some strong words from John the Baptist last week. And he began to baptize people. And he would say, I baptize you with water but for repentance. But one is coming after me whose sandals I'm not even worthy to carry. And he'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So, unlike my little amateur radio station, amazingly, people were actually responding to John. They were responding to his call to repent, to be baptized. And so, actually, Jesus found himself coming to John. And John, in effect, says, why are you coming to me? I need to be baptized by you. But eventually, John gets himself in trouble because he called King Herod out for marrying his brother's wife. And Herod had him arrested and put in jail. And that's essentially where we find our scripture picking up today. John had thrown his whole entire life into preparing the way for Jesus. He wore the uniform. He ate the rations of the Old Testament prophet Elijah. You know, he had a coat of camel's hair, it says, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He was an interesting guy, wasn't he? But he did the thing that the best disciples do. He pointed to Jesus. And then he was unceremoniously tossed into prison. You can imagine how John might start to doubt as he sat in his cell, nothing to do except consider the ways that Jesus did not seem to be fulfilling his expectations. When are we going to see some action, Jesus? If you're really him, I don't want to tell you how to do your job, Lord, but right about now would be a great time for some of that Holy Spirit and fire stuff. Take your time now. You know where to find me. Rotting in jail. Because in case you haven't noticed, Jesus, Herod is still in charge. The same authorities are still in charge of the temple. Pontius Pilate's still in charge of Jerusalem. I think he might have said, you know, I had really high hopes that you, Jesus, would make things better. So where is the kingdom of God? Are you going to get to it or not? And so John actually sends a couple of his disciples to Jesus to ask him the question directly. He says, are you the one who is to come? Should we look for another? I mean, for a long time, I brushed off that question. Oh, of course he's the one, John. I mean, we all know that. You know that. We're all in church together, right? But do we? I mean, do you ever find yourself asking questions like John? Are you maybe in a place right now in your life where the kingdom is hard to see? Are you feeling let down by Jesus? Or at least maybe disappointed? Do you stare at Jesus like I might have stared at my new ham radio? Is it even working? Maybe you say to yourself, you know, I've tasted some of that joy to the world, the hope and peace that comes from the Holy Spirit. We talked about that last week, but I certainly don't have it now. I mean, enough talk, God. I want some action. But listen to what Jesus says. Go report to John what you hear and see. Those who are blind are able to see. Those who are crippled are walking. People with skin diseases are cleansed. Those who are deaf now hear. Those who are dead are raised up. The poor have good news proclaimed to them. Again, I think one of the difficulties of hanging around church a lot is that we tend to tune out when we hear lists like that instead of tuning in. They sound so familiar. But here's the thing, it actually would have sounded familiar to those at Jesus' time as well, because it's straight out of Isaiah. We see it in a lot of different places, but especially where we read today from chapter 35. I know it was very exciting to watch, you know, the kids lighting the candles, so maybe you missed it. Here it is again. It told us how God would come. And then the ears of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. In another place, in Isaiah 61, we read how the Messiah is the one who's going to bring good news to the poor. Jesus responds to John by telling him that the fullness of salvation is what he is bringing. And salvation touches every area of life. It's overcoming the disabilities, he says. It's addressing the sicknesses. It's good news. It's bringing hope and peace and joy to the poor. It even overcomes death itself. Yes, John, I think Jesus might have said, I recognize that this might not be the fire of revolution that you and so many were looking for, but it is salvation. It's a deep, comprehensive healing, and that's exactly what the kingdom of God is all about. To some extent, Jesus is simply reviewing what has been going on. He says, John, you got arrested all the way back in chapter 4, and now we're all the way in chapter 11, so I'm going to catch you up a little bit. This is what you might have missed while you were in prison. The blind receiving sight, that was chapter 9. The crippled walking, also chapter 9. Healing leprosy, well, that's chapter 8. Having deaf people hear, chapter 9. Raising the dead, chapter 9 again. And then good news to the poor. Well, way back in chapter 5, I stood up on a mountain. I said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. It's as if Jesus is saying, John, I know it might sound like I'm just quoting scripture at you. This stuff is actually happening. God is saying yes. yes to all of the promises of Scripture through me, Jesus. And it isn't a letdown. It's exactly what was promised. It might not be the scope that you're looking for, but the reality, I think, is that God never does anything in a big way before God does it first in a small way. I think that all Christians at some point in life have a season like John may have been having. This is how it can be for those of us who give our hearts away, who give our hearts to Jesus, because love is risky, because if we don't get let down if we don't love. But John the Baptist was second guessing that Jesus was the one. And if John the Baptist was second guessing that Jesus was the one, well, that's an encouragement to me for doubting every once in a while now, isn't it? It's like the smartest kid in the class raising her hand to ask the question that everyone else was afraid to ask. Even the strongest advocates of the faith have doubted from time to time. And I think it's important to recognize that Christian after Christian has gone through seasons of life where doubt was their primary outlook of faith. And time again, they emerge on the other side with renewed vigor, with a deeper intellectual or experiential understanding of the faith that they confess. So while I don't think doubts are particularly a good thing necessarily, I do know that in all things, God works for good. Sometimes, you know, I think we need to be reminded of the basics a little bit. Whatever you're going through right now, please know that God loves you, period. God has never stopped loving you, period. Just because you don't see it right now doesn't mean that God isn't working for good to come out of the bad. I think that when we find ourselves in seasons of doubt, the best thing that we can do is to follow John's example. We bring it straight to Jesus. We bring it to Jesus, and then we wait for the response. We listen. It only took John one petition to get a response, but as we've talked about a lot recently, if the answer to prayer doesn't show up immediately, we persist in our prayers. We give God no rest about it. Like John, we might be in the prison of our circumstances, but we can still stay connected to Jesus. At the very least, we can do what John did and get a couple believers together and stay connected through Jesus that way. He sent his disciples to Jesus. And this is why I tell every Christian that goes off to college that it's absolutely essential that they stay connected with a Christian group on campus. And this is why we need to keep coming to church when times get rough. There is no better place to wrestle with the struggles of life and to work through our doubts than in the presence of other believers. John missed out on a lot because he was in jail. But Jesus says to him, in effect, if you could only have the eyes to see and the ears to hear, you would see the signs of the kingdom of God and what you're hearing about me. It might not be what you expected, but blessed is the one who doesn't take offense at me, he says. Because here's the truth. It's working. My ham radio was working, but I didn't get a response because the conditions weren't right. Jesus is working, and Jesus is doing what Jesus is supposed to be doing. Do you have eyes to see it? Do you have eyes to see it? Even in our own midst, we've seen strangers come into our midst and find faith. We've seen relationships healed. We've seen people turning from their substance abuse dependencies. We've seen people get fed and clothed. We've seen relationships healed again. We've seen hearts transformed by the power of God's love. Yes, we've seen people die too. but it's been in a way that fills us with gratitude and praise of God for their lives. We're beginning to see people labor in prayer, my brothers and sisters, labor in prayer for God's kingdom to come in their lives. And perhaps it's not the scale or the scope that we deeply long for, but God never does anything in a big way that God doesn't first do in a small way. Have you seen it working? Have you seen God's yes to the promises of Scripture being fulfilled by Jesus in others or in yourself? Tell them what you've witnessed with your own eyes. Let's tell the Johns of the world, the Johns among us, that their labor is not in vain. Let's help each other to realize that we haven't gotten it wrong. Let's recognize that the pain that people, let's recognize the pain that people are in while also pointing them beyond their immediate circumstances to the encouragement of God's work in our midst. Because that's where the joy is. That's where the peace is. It's working. God is saying, yes.